Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Analyze This, the self-help podcast that just can't help itself. Here at Analyze This, we're on day 1 million of quarantine. I am Hannah Gelb.
And I am Hannah Hart.
Yeah. And buddy, you know what I'm thinking about? I've really used all of the seating in my apartment to its max potential at this point. There really is. That's the thing about the whole, like, working from home, being at
home.
Every
seat has become a bed.
And yeah, everything is sharing. Every space and piece of furniture is sharing its task with all other spaces and pieces of furniture.
Whatever do you mean?
Like, the couch is now a bed. The table is now a toilet. The chair is now a table.
The bed is now a desk.
Yes. I understand, Hannah Hart, that you have acquired a new, not just a new game, but a new video game console.
Yes, you know, I have. So my friend Mabry's boyfriend, Chip, was selling his Nintendo Switch, which is insane because they're all sold out everywhere. You can't find them anywhere. And I see him post on Instagram stories saying, oh, I'm selling it. Anybody want to buy a Switch? I immediately reply. I was like, yeah, how much? He says, like 300. And I'm like, oh my God. He could have really, really upsold this thing. But I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. Anyway, I got a Switch.
Wait, how much is it? How much is it, like, new?
What's the retail price of a Nintendo Switch? This is what the people want to know.
I would have thought it was like $300.
I think he did sell it at retail. Oh, $439 on eBay, $500 at Walmart, $493. No, he sold it at a discount. He sold it used.
Wow.
What a champion.
I did not think a Switch is more expensive than a PlayStation.
You know, people make weird choices. So I got this Switch, and thank you so much for giving me this outlet to talk about this. So as many of you listeners know, I have been playing Stardew Valley, which is an incredibly wonderful, very, very, very fun game about farming and kind of building a little life, et cetera, et cetera. And so I got a Switch because of Animal Crossing, because everyone's talking, you got to play Animal Crossing. You got to play Animal Crossing. And I have concluded everyone is wrong. I have been playing Animal Crossing for about 3 or 4 days, and I'm not so much entertained as I am kind of like bored and frustrated. Like, I'm playing it like, not frustrated, like it's difficult. I'm playing it like it's my job. Like, I feel like I'm filing paperwork. Like, it's not very fun. And people keep saying, oh, you got to get there. Just wait until the first week in the game is over. Oh, interesting characteristics. Well, let me sidebar that real quick. Got to wait a week until the first game, like the first week is over, and then the game will really, you know, unveil itself and be a lot more fun. So far, in terms of Animal Crossing, I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not having a good time, but I'm still playing it because I'm trying to give it like that same thing you give a book, right? Like, give it 50 pages, give it 100 pages.
In Animal Crossing, are you an animal or you have a little avatar? You're like a little Hannah Hart.
Your little Hannah Hart?
Oh, will you send me a picture of your little Animal Crossing self?
Mine's adorable. Once I started playing and realized I could sell things on my person, I immediately sold my shoes and socks. I was like, this guy doesn't need shoes and socks. I'm going to sell them. I got lots of bells, which is the currency. I got like 500 bells for my shoes and socks. I'm like, look at all these fools out here. Ha ha, making the money.
nice.
In Animal Crossing, you are an indentured servant. Does anyone talk about that? Has anyone talked about this? So there is a raccoon figure named Tom Nook.
The architect of the Matrix.
Yes. He loans you money to have a tent on this island where you work on the island to pay off your loan. Once you've paid off your loan, he loans you more for a larger house, etc. The entire point of you being on this leisurely island life is literally to work for this raccoon.
And where does his wealth come from?
He seems to be some sort of real estate mogul. So you're in debt.
So he's the enemy.
No, but he's not even the enemy. He's your friend. It's all just whatever, man. We're living on the island. It's like, okay. You know, it's insane. So anyway, I'm going to give it the full first week like people recommended. But I have to say that so far, Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing cannot even be compared. And Animal Crossing, I'm finding to be very, very slow. Oh, additionally, in the world of Animal Crossing, it functions in real time. Mm-hmm. So it's the North American hemisphere or the Northern hemisphere because of location. So I'm playing in the Northern hemisphere. So seasonally, it matches the seasons. But it functions in real time. So if I opened up the game right now, it would be 1:34 p.m. Uh-huh, in the game world. So that means I have to literally play a full week to get through this first week in the game. There's no way to rush the game.
So you can't just like wait a week from now and then.
Nope. Yeah, I could and then like reopen it, but I wouldn't have made the daily progress I need to make.
It feels like work.
It feels like work. Okay. Last but not least, and then rant concluding. So here I am taking a break from Animal Crossing, being like, okay, fine. Well, I know that the Switch has lots of fun things. Let me explore it. And it was in that moment, Hannah, I realized I don't think I like Nintendo.
Dude, and I mean,
it feels like impossible to say.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. You didn't grow up on Nintendo.
Mm-mm.
Right.
No.
I have this core love of Nintendo because I played Super Mario Brothers so much.
I didn't understand that Nintendo makes Nintendo games. Like Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or games that you can like play on Nintendo or like the games that Nintendo makes suck. Like like the games PlayStation makes through their subsidiaries are like The Last of Us.
Well, there's definitely a different, I feel like Nintendo is skewed towards a more family, like I know people like, some people really enjoy the Animal Crossing because,
the crossing of the animals.
Some people say they like the Animal Crossing because they can play with their families, you know, like parents can play with their kids. My friend Steven was like, I think you should get this game and then we can visit each other's islands and also we can write each other letters. And I was like, or we can call each other and talk on the phone.
I get that part. I guess I haven't really gotten into the community aspect. Tell Steven, I'll send you my friend code. Steven can come to my island.
Oh my God, please do.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that feels like, oh my God, you're right. It's that I don't have the nostalgia. It's the exact same way I feel towards Disney.
Oh.
I'm like,
oh.
I know.
That hurts.
I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry. Trust me, I know. I just don't have that like feeling about that like the sounds aren't, they don't hit anything for me. So.
Right.
Long story short, let's see where we're at next time we podcast. As of now.
Right. Who knows?
Rant concluded.
That was a good
Thank
rant,
you.
Dude.
And I appreciate you giving me the platform to get this off my chest.
And I, you know, you had really like succinct, really clear bullet points, you know, to back up your views.
Yes. My character's cool though. It's got a little tie-dye shirt.
I do want to see your little
jeans,
character.
And no shoes because I sold them.
I have been enjoying seeing Animal Crossing stuff on Twitter.
I can't talk about it anymore. It'll get less. It'll be less well
formed. Okay.
Yeah, I'll update you next time. I have another nice succinct point to make about Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay, excellent. Well, you know, I've also started a new game myself. So, Well, I bought the entire Kingdom Hearts bundle. And
wait, how many are there now?
Oh, dude, there's like 8 games. Well, like there's 1, 2, and 3, which are console games and that were PS4 or like PlayStation games. And then there's like all these ones in the middle that were like ones for your mobile phone, ones for your fucking.
The iterations.
Like PS Vita or something. Yeah. So, but now I have them all. And man, speaking of like sadness, I am sad because the first Kingdom Hearts, like, had such gravitas and it was like so good and it came out in 2004 and was it 2004 maybe even earlier, but so, and the storyline has become so incomprehensible.
What is the plot of Kingdom Hearts?
I literally could not tell you.
What?
Okay, so in the very first game, it's like all you go to all these other Disney worlds. Because
Kingdom Hearts the first came out in 2002.
Holy shit. So in the first game, it's like every world exists in the same universe, but they're all separate, which is like good and safe. And then somehow they all get connected, but they're kind of broken. So like you have to go around with the Keyblade and like lock each world. It just was like really fun and satisfying. And now, and this like somehow on the way to game three, it's like it's like one of those games where like there are 4,000 menus and like, wait, it's just like so complicated and like.
So Kingdom Hearts is about restoring a fractured world.
Dude, we cannot even get into, like, I could not, if you put a gun to my head, I would not be able to explain the plot to you.
So, but now it sounds like Kingdom Hearts itself is fractured.
Dude, I mean, it's like, maybe it looks great. I'm just like, okay, I want to go to all the new Disney worlds, but I'm really like not enjoying it that much because I'm just like, there's no heart. Music pretty good.
Pretty good, but it's not like.
Oh!
That's the only thing I know about Kingdom Hearts is the feeling of Simple and Clean.
Oh, God, Simple and Clean is so good. The intro song does kind of slap, I must say. I enjoy it. But whatever, that's whatever. What's more importantly is I started playing Uncharted. I started playing Uncharted number one.
What's Uncharted number one?
So it's like this super fun, like Tomb Raider, but with a man and more quippy dialogue. And
what's Tomb Raider? What's the plot? What's the plot of Uncharted? It's about a...
So Uncharted. In the first Uncharted, Drake's fortune. The main character you play is Nathan Drake, who is so-called the opposite of an ancestor.
Like, progeny?
Like, Nathan Drake's ancestor is Sir Francis Drake, supposedly.
Oh, so okay, he's so on progeny.
This, like, yeah, so he's on this quest to find Drake's fortune, like this, like, you know, El Dorado type gold fortune, whatever. So you're like, oh my God, dude, it's so much fun. It's so engaging.
In the Drake family line, family history, it's like every new generation of Drake goes out there to try and find their ancestor's treasure.
I don't know about that. I don't know that much yet.
Ooh, okay, okay. But so far, so good?
It's from our friends at Naughty Dog, as you know. And I'm literally like, I have to meet Neil Druckmann for the second time because I want to be like, dude, I love Uncharted. And also, it really makes me want to work out.
Oh, okay.
Nathan is in such good shape. He fucking climbs walls. He's like, oh, is that pole 10 feet away? Yeah, no, I can jump over there.
Oh, wait, I have to say that a former the description for Mr. Nathan Drake online is a former professional treasure hunter. Nathan Drake is described as a deep sea salvage expert and action pro.
Yes. They're right. Yes. And it's funny. And apparently somewhere along the line, he has a brother. And you know I like stuff with brothers.
I know you do. Did you see what the voice actor who plays Joel from The Last of Us said on Twitter?
Today?
No, not today. I bet previously. I have to read you this quote because, and I really would love to hear your take on it. But I know, and listeners, in case you haven't heard, this is a Hannah Gelb-led podcast, but I want to find voice actor. What's his name? What's the name of him? Why am I trying to Google? What's his name?
Troy Baker.
Thank you. Okay, Troy Baker.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I met Troy Baker thanks to being friends with Hannah Hart and we took a picture together?
We love Troy Baker. Okay, so here is what he said. He posted just like a teaser graphic for Last of Us and he tweeted the following. Posting this because I want to, because I believe in this team, because I've waited 6 years to experience this story as it was intended, because you might think you know, but you don't, because I'm proud of this game, because I chose to be a part of it, because I, all caps, am Joel.
Oh my God. Whoa. He's in like fandom inception. Like so deep in the layers.
He's a fan of a character that he is.
Oh my God. But dude, he is. Like I think he's from Texas. And Joel is from Texas. As we all know, Texas is where hot men come from. Like Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles.
Wow.
And also, a Hannah Kelf came from Texas.
Hannah Kelf did indeed come from Texas.
Wow.
Lady the cat is meowing at the door. Lady is screaming for attention, just like our sponsors. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I want to know about, okay, so you've been sending me photos of some artwork you've been making. Yes, I just want to hear like all about your art and your process and your enjoyment of art and your art supplies and the things you're learning and like, yeah.
So as part of Why the Fuck Not 2K 2020, I am just, anytime I have an inclination to do something, I've just been saying yes to it because why the fuck not? You know, like, why the fuck not?
Oh, my dude. So empowering.
Why the fuck not? Why not? You know, so we watched a really excellent film called Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Oh, I've heard that is excellent.
And in it, there was a moment where she was doing a charcoal figure drawing or something like that. If you're a fan of period pieces, the French or art, I strongly, strong, and gayness, strong rec, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. It's excellent. It's an excellent film.
It sounds like the most French movie of all time.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire. No, really, truly, Hannah, you're going to love this movie. You should absolutely watch it. And people who are fans of film in general should watch it. It's a great story. It's really well told. It's lovely. So she was doing a sketch, and I was like, you know, I love black and white stuff. Not black and white films. Don't like them. But like, I love ink on paper. I love charcoal. I love things that are just really focused on contrast and shading, right? Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, why don't I just buy some charcoal? Why don't I buy a charcoal set and some paper and start playing? And so I have. It's kind of like playing in the dirt. It feels really fun. It feels fun and purposeless, but in a freeing way. I get messy with it. It's very tactile. Like I use my hands. I use whatever's near me. I'm just kind of just saying yes to myself, and not necessarily as like an artistic practice, but as a personal practice, mm-hmm. I'm really beginning to enjoy my own company, you know, by being positive with myself and reinforcing, saying yes.
Dude, this podcast is over. You've cracked it, man. There's no need to continue.
No.
That's such a beautiful, beautiful story.
I mean, it's a wonder. I don't know. It's kind of nice. And it's like, maybe it's novelty, and maybe novelty is really what I'm enjoying. But the good news is that by at the very least, the practice of saying yes to myself is one that I probably won't regret. You know, I feel like we hesitate and judge and think, oh, I mean, but why? You know, is a big question. Mm-hmm. And as my mom says, why is a loop question? It goes on and on and on and on. You can ask why into infinity.
Right. You
know? So instead, maybe ask, why not?
That's beautiful, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, so true.
Because we don't really know why. Why is not that important, you know?
It's not important.
Side note, never ask anyone, why did you do that? Because... it's only going to upset them, and they can't answer because we are a complex bag of mess.
Even if I was like, oh, I bought a bunch of charcoal, and you're like, oh, wow, why did you do that?
Oh, God. It already sounds just like, did you know you're an idiot?
Yeah.
If anyone in your life is asking you this question, fuck them.
Yeah. Instead, just say, tell me more.
It's just, you know what? It's not helpful. Exactly. It's like someone saying, when are you going to get your life together? That's not also a helpful question.
That's not at all a helpful question. That sounds more like a slap, like a painful slap, unnecessary strike against them.
It's truly amazing to me that people walk around saying awful things to each other.
They do. But you know, it's because awful things were said unto them, and we are but wheels and gears grinding against each other. And in awareness alone, can we choose to shift the direction?
Wow.
Speaking of directions, what direction is your cat's butt facing?
Oh, gosh, yes. Okay, so a little update on Fiona Applecake. She is the best. She's an absolute beauty. Every day when I wake up, it's a miracle that she's here. However, she did get worms. I think she must have got them in the shelter.
She must have had them from the shelter. Yeah. It's not like you have any other cats.
She doesn't go outside. Yeah. She doesn't go outside. Oh, God. So I was like, huh, my kitty's like, her tummy looks a little big. Maybe she's just gaining a little weight. Then, okay. I don't know how gross people want to get with this.
Trigger warning. Something is about to come out of Hannah's mouth.
I noticed like where she likes to sleep, there were these little like kind of seed looking things, like dried seed looking things. And
I was like little sesame seeds.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then my friends, one evening I saw a worm coming out of her butt.
What?
Yep. And what? It was like, what's up?
What?
I was like, how dare you? First of all, get your shit together, worm. You're living in a cat's butt. Is that what you want your life to be? Can you not think of another place to live?
What?
Horrifying.
Was it like coming out the butthole? Like, did you pull it out? What happened? What?
So I chased her around with a tissue trying to get this worm out. I feel like a true mom now because I was like,
I'm going to hold you down and get this off of your butt.
I will pull this fucking worm out of your butt with my bare hands and then throw it into the flames. So I chased her around and then I was like, oh gosh, no, she has worms. So I did a little research and
wait, did you get the worm?
Oh, I got the worm. Wow. I put it in a Ziploc bag because I was like, I need evidence in case I take this to a vet. And then.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Oh, it's disgusting.
Ugh. And plus, probably also that keeps it contained. So it's not going out there. So what does that mean? Is that the one worm? Is it over now?
No. Well, see, it's a tapeworm. Tapeworms are like long and then in sections. And that's why it's like little sections come out and look like those little seeds. So luckily I got tapeworm pills at the local petterie. So she's taken the pill. And since then I have not seen any seeds. I've not seen worms in the butt. However, it was only like 4 or 5 days ago. So I think I got to wait like a couple weeks.
Do you have more than one pill, or do you think that one just got it?
I have some more pills, so just in case. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, my poor little baby.
Oh my God, that's awful. Is there any, but you can't catch the worm from her, right? Like, you're not going to also get tapeworms from her?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if human tapeworms and pet tapeworms are the same worm.
I don't know.
Worms, you gross.
You gross. And also Googling anything about worms is also very gross. I regret that last Google image.
Search. Oh, yeah. So bad. You know what's the worst one? The worst, worst one? The guinea worm?
What is it?
It's all.
What is it?
You can only get it, don't worry, in Guinea, Africa. Mm. Or is it New Guinea? Africa?
I don't know, man.
Oh, God. I am such a horrible white person. But anyways, it's fucking huge, dude. Don't worry, though. I think we've almost eradicated it from the planet.
Okay.
I have this weird fascination with disgusting things, I must say.
Although I will protest, because when I tried to share with you earbuds, actually, I didn't tell you guys about this. Ella and I went and got the COVID test done.
Oh, God. Well, that's like, that's okay, a different.
Look, you're sitting here talking about tapeworms. I can share some relevant information, which is the COVID nasal swab is very, very unpleasant. And if you would like to know just how unpleasant, why don't you go ahead and just Google image search what it is exactly. And when you do, sit tightly in the knowledge that it feels exactly as you would imagine.
See, that's the thing.
Effectively, they take a Q-tip, they stick it through your nose, past your face,
into your brain,
to the back of your throat, the topmost back of your throat, which is directly in front of your brain.
I did not even know that that was a thoroughfare.
I didn't know we had such an empty hole in our faces.
I thought there was a top of the nose. I didn't know you could just push all the way to the back of the throat.
I also really imagined every aspect of our face was its own self-contained chamber, but turns out our whole throat, eyes, ears, nose system all touches each other. Maybe not the eyes, but the rest touches each other.
That's why some docs are like throat,
ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blech.
Ugh. God. Just terrible.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, that is horrible because I can so clearly like imagine that sensation, that like horrible nasal pain. Oh,
it feels
God.
Like how this sounds.
Oh my God. And then I saw on the last week tonight this little clip of this woman being like, she took the test and she was like, they poked my brain.
Yeah.
I'm tasting blood. It's in there.
I know. I felt when we left, I had to pull the car over because I felt so violated in that moment. God. But it's not, honestly, look, in terms of medical procedures, it's pretty invasive. However, it's also very simple. We did it sitting in the car. They just did it through the window of the car. It's not so bad. If you feel like you have COVID and you're in an area where tests are available, why not become a data point and go check it out? It was free. No regrets, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a data point.
You already are.
You're so right, dude.
Right?
Speaking of data points, I'm trying to collect some data.
Oh.
Yes, I have. So I don't know if I ever talked about this, but way back in late 2013, when my life fell apart, my therapist.
When your life began anew.
Oh, thank you, dude. You're right. When a new chapter of life had begun.
Mm-hmm.
I was emotionally destroyed, living with my parents and unemployed, living in my childhood home. So my therapist was like, you need a structure. That's what you need. So I'm going to tell you a structure. You're going to wake up and immediately fall, lurch, whatever you have to do, get out of bed. You're going to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do a thing you like art, and then you're going to journal. And for what, because I had literally, that was the only, like I was floating in a frozen sea. That was the only thing to hold on to. I was actually very diligent about it. And I got in like super good shape.
You did. You looked great.
Thanks, buddy.
Ugh. But you're saying that you were in such a deep and dense listlessness and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of trauma, that this structure was the only thing you could cling to.
Right. So I was like very, oh God.
Diligent about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
So I'm thinking, since we are now also undergoing a trauma.
Yeah.
And I have literally no structure to my day. I mean, I have like an idea of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You're
like, I feel bad.
Yeah. Oh, I feel guilty. I mean, I do not feel good.
I don't feel good. So I have no structure to my day, but it's no fun.
It's no fun.
It's no fun.
No. So yeah, I'm like, you know what? I want to start up. I want to try doing that structure again. I did tell myself I was going to start this week. So far, it has not worked, but that's okay. I'm letting myself fail. I'm like, that's all right, because, oh my God, my cat is so cute right now. Sorry. One of the problems I'm having right now is I fucked my sleep schedule so much, like going to bed at like 2 a.m., waking up at like 8 to check emails, and then going back to bed for like 11 a.m.
Dude, that is just crazy.
So I'm trying to get my,
your circadian rhythm is off.
I know. So I'm trying to get back on a good schedule. And like yesterday, I like went for a run. I got in bed at like 11 and I still could not fall asleep until like 1 a.m. So I'm like, okay, I really have to like very little by little by little scoot my sleeping schedule. And then I want to start doing that as soon as I wake up. I want to exercise. I'm going to journal. And then I'm going to start my day.
Yeah. It's time. I mean, literally, dude, you voiced this to me personally over the phone the other day. But like, that's friends and family. That's where we're at. Okay. We're past coping. We're like, this is about saving your life, you know? So coping is surviving. And this is just like, okay, this is the next stage. To continue to survive, well, fuck. Can't be distracted by anything. Gonna have to start manifesting some sort of routine.
Right.
I know, man.
And I'm a very, when it comes to routine, I'm like an oppositional toddler.
I know, you hate being told what to do. Although I will tell you what to do right now, which is you got to go join your work call, buddy. We got to wrap up.
Okay, you're right. Oh, I have a meeting, guys. It's 2 p.m.
You have a meeting. You have a meeting right now. A company, all hands. We will continue next week to hear about how this routine goes. And as always, guys, please send us your tips, tricks, thoughts, suggestions for what we should describe or talk about during this time of crisis. And some ways you are, in fact, coping during this time of crisis. Maybe it would be great to highlight some of our earbuds and their extra efforts. So go ahead and send them to us via Twitter on the DMs, or if you're a patron, post it to the Patreon page. Love you lots, everybody. Hannah Gelb, tell your boss I say hi.
I am not going to do that.
All right.
I'll think it.
Okay. Works for me. Okay. We love you, everybody.
Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.